At the end of the podcast this week, we got a little discussion with Miranda Lambert. Everybody loves Miranda, and we talk music and corona and craziness, all coming up right after the end of the podcast jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast.
Just got my notification.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Just got my notification that Big D and Bubba are live on Facebook right now. What?
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
Solid gold.
That's a great gold. So real quick, I do want to say thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, they've been a longtime sponsor of the podcast. So thank you to those guys, O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's where you go for better parts, better prices every day. Just saying.
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
Your dignity.
What is the comfort wipe again?
Isn't the comfort wipe that little stick that you put toilet paper on for people who can't reach around and wipe?
I don't think that's what it was.
I thought that's what it was.
I'm not Googling that. I don't want that in my Google search.
Your Amazon suggestions for the next 6 months are going to be the comfort wipe.
I was looking for treadmills for Vivica. They have been trying to sell me a treadmill for a week.
You know what they need? They need to invent a button that says, I already bought this. And you just click, already bought this. Because what happens? You search for something, you buy it, and then for the next 6 weeks, that's all you see is the stuff you already bought. I don't want ads for things I already bought. What is a comfort wipe?
What is it? Is it great?
It's a stick, right?
It's a stick, yeah.
It's a stick to reach your nether regions. But you know what?
It's a stick like we have to clean the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what you put an attachment to the end of it. But instead of like an attachment, it has little, you stick it into like, it's got like a little holder.
So it's like a little Swiffer. It's a Swiffer for your butt.
You know the thing that holds a Swiffer? Those little buttons that you push into, the little rubber things, the little teeth?
Yes.
Okay, that's what it is. And then you hit the button and it releases it. So,
dude. It's a wand. It is a wiping wand. What it is.
They should have called it the wiping wand.
They should have called it the wiping wand.
I'm sure that's what it was called. You shouldn't call this a wiping wand.
A wiping wand.
They were wrong.
Here's a shot of it. They go between their legs from the front to the back.
I'm just saying, it's
great, the comfort wipe.
But what does it do? Does it keep your dignity? Or
it helps you keep your dignity.
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
Like, what is that
just
accent?
Just for the record, we're not making fun of the fact that this lady has to use the comfort wipe.
No,
we're making fun of the way she talks.
Why do we have to make an excuse?
And how is that even better? So we're not making fun.
It is.
We're just making fun of another part of her.
I'm making fun of people who would be offended by us making fun of them.
Indignancy.
I'm making fun of them.
Well, after my dad had his surgery and they cracked his chest open, he had to have my mom take care of all that business. That is the worst thing ever. So what did I do the very first time I visited them after? I put in his bidet. And they are humongous fans of the bidet. Told you guys.
That didn't take long. Here's Patrick now with a song about Bubba and how much he loves his bidet.
I'm not plugged in.
Oh, why are you not plugged in?
Because I wasn't planning on actually. I'm George Strait in this thing.
You just need us to listen. Whoa, is that a guitar in your hands? Yes, it is.
Wow. Maintain my dignity. Carson, will you pass me that?
Yeah, I'm not even really sure what the accent it is. What that is?
I'm not. That's
a dignity.
That's like when I try to say a word and just screw it up out of nowhere.
Dignity.
That's what she did.
Is that a Connecticut accent?
Whatever the Atlantic something.
Old school.
We don't have time for pettifogging.
It sure sounded like Mid Atlantic.
Hey,
like
Carson,
listen
to this accent. Is this just like someone that your mom knew growing up?
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
Is that someone? Is that?
It sounds like somebody doing a really bad Moira Rose.
Who's Moira Rose?
I don't even know who that is.
From Schitt's Creek. David.
Your dignity.
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
Your dignity.
Go ahead. Fold the cheese.
He folded it.
I wish I knew what you guys were.
What do you do?
Well,
you fold it.
Well, you fold it. I can't tell you everything. Well, can you tell me something?
Can you maintain your dignity by folding the cheese? Everybody needs to fold the cheese.
All right, here's Patrick with Bubba and his bidet. How much he loves it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Patrick Thomas.
Well, no. Little inside joke. Just pretty much just for us.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we're on. I've never thought it would be fun to have water shoot up next to my bum. But Bubba, he loves bidets way too much. See, we went to Japan, and in one of our hotel rooms, they had a bidet. And Bubba talked about it night and day. And now that's all he wants to do is talk about his bidet that he has at home and how he wants to bring one to the office.
We need one.
No. So we think that is nasty.
You don't have to use it.
We don't want to use it.
You don't have to use it.
So we're not going to get one because that is weird.
We need a bidet.
And you're the only one who thinks so.
That's because you don't have one at home. I'm sorry, dude. If you're holding your newborn baby and your newborn baby makes a little defecation on your arm, are you just going to wipe it with a piece of toilet paper and then walk away?
No, I'm not, because it's my arm and it's exposed. Right. The inside of your butt cheek is not the same.
It's the same thing.
It's also
wiping something dry.
A different being's poop.
Okay. If you are pooping in the woods and you're acting out your bear fantasies and you're like, okay, and
am I gonna bring a bidet to the woods?
I'm just saying, if you're pooping in the woods and you accidentally get it on your arm, aren't you gonna want to pour?
What am I doing with my arm?
Well, I mean, it could be a messy one. Who knows? So, like, you're not using your comfort wipe. You get it on your arm. You want water. You want to hit that with your Camelback, and you want to spray that thing.
Mm-hmm. And now here to sing Pooping in the Woods, here's Big D.
Thank you, Ben.
Take it, D.
Hey,
Pooping in the Woods.
Yeah. Bubba and I went camping one day.
Yeah, we did.
Before we got there, we stopped by Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't love them some Taco Bell?
I love them some Taco Bell.
Bubba said, give me all the packets of the mild sauce that you can without getting fired.
And the hot sauce with the cute little slogans on them.
That old lady said, absolutely, cutie.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him a whole big old bag of those hot sauces.
Uh-oh.
Can you give me some fire, too? Mmm, good.
So there we were, camping. It had to be 10:30 at night. Figured we had gonna call it a night after eating all those Taco Bell burritos. Ooh, what was that? Was that you? Bubba says, ooh, this is not good, Big D.
I don't have a gallbladder.
So Bubba went out and found him a tree. And he was gone for a while.
No one poops longer than Bubba. Oh, Bubba and his stomach. Now, if you don't know what that is Bubba's actual stomach.
Yeah, it's so good. That's
we did a show one day where Big D was like, man, is that your stomach? Which, by the way, I never call you out when your stomach talks to us. But
dude,
anyway,
it's not that loud. No one's stomach is that loud.
Well, mine went crazy, and I'll just so we put a microphone on my stomach. We taped it to my belly, and you're about to hear that here momentarily. It is the worst thing.
Okay.
It's the worst thing you'll ever experience. And you want to talk about embarrassing? Because, you know, you're sitting there and you're sitting on the sofa with your wife and her stomach is doing this. And you got to pretend you don't hear it.
Okay.
It's going to be my new ringtone. Text. Be like, was that your stomach? No, Bob is texting.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Now, remember ringtones?
I know. I was going to say that.
Oh, yeah. My God. There was real money in that. Like, the music industry thought ringtones was going to be the big windfall.
They were like 99 cents. They were the same as a song.
Yeah.
And you would get it. And remember, that at first, you got what they gave you. And then you could move into the song. You remember, you could move it into where the part of the song you wanted.
Yes, and pick the part.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I went and I found a way to hack it to where you could use GarageBand and then export the songs to your iTunes library, but put the letter M, I think, somewhere in it, and it would all of a sudden just drop it into your ringtone. So you could make your own ringtones really easy.
Yeah, and for free. Or, well, you already paid for it. Yeah, we were talking about...
There's a tutorial somewhere, so check it out.
Yeah, we were talking about when's the last time you actually bought and downloaded a song. It's been a while. It's been some time.
Been a little while. Yeah, I don't think I've bought a song except for like video stuff, because there's some things where we've done videos and all, and we've needed music. So that's about the only time I've ever done that. But I don't think I've had to buy a song in a long time.
Not counting vinyl? I haven't bought music in years.
Yeah.
Do y'all think there's like a market for old CDs? Because I have thousands.
There's
none at all?
Nope.
How long until
unless
that becomes
you have,
a thing?
Unless you have promo
CDs, that's
promo
it.
Promo CDs sell.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, if you're listening, sorry, promo CDs are what they would send to radio stations. They print like 1,000 copies of this single and send it just to radio stations. So they're rare because, one, most people just toss it after they listen to it or load it into their computer.
But don't they have a little thing, a sticker on it or whatever it says, not for resale and all that kind of stuff?
But there was a lawsuit. You can absolutely sell it. There was a lawsuit. It has been yet defined. Somebody tried to hit me with that on eBay because they're an idiot and bought a promo CD thinking they were buying a full CD. And they're like, well, this is not for resale. I'm like, let me direct you to court case that was in San Francisco. And yeah, so try to leave me negative feedback. No.
Oh, you sold those too?
Occasionally, yeah. Just the ones like I got at the rock stations, because you have a lot of rock fans who are so passionate about their bands. They're like, yeah, you know, I want that Buck Cherry single. Like, okay, here you go. I'll sell it to you. It's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of promo stuff.
Yeah.
So I might be sitting on a gold mine.
The older promo stuff might be collectible. If it's collectible bands, if it's the kind
of
people
that... I've
got
a bunch of really good stuff, and it's not just country, because I've worked every format.
Yeah, country doesn't really sell. It's not collectible in the CDs. It's just not. Some albums are, but most CDs are not.
I don't think 90s... I told you guys. I went to a yard sale, and I bought like 125 cassettes. They were all like 80s hair metal, but one of them was like a single from Metallica.
Oh, wow.
People want to pay like $50 for that thing.
Are you kidding me?
I paid her 40 cents.
For the whole thing?
No, I paid $50 for all like 130 of them.
Do you do the move now where you just put a bunch of stuff in a bag and then say, how much you want for all this?
Yeah, I put all those cassette tapes together and I'm like, yeah, I think there's about 125, so... What were you looking for? She's like, well, I was looking for 50 cents a pop. And I was like, how about we call it 50? And she's like, okay. Because it cleared stuff out of
her garage.
I've been
on the other side of that. You're happy to sell $50 worth of a big box of stuff.
Because it's your junk. I mean, here's the thing. You were going to throw it away anyway.
Free money, man.
Yeah, free money out of your junk that you were going to toss.
Yeah, I cleared out your garage for you.
Somebody suggested that I get, because I have to get rid of some stuff out of my garage. I have one of the little lanes in the garage that you can't put a car in. And the suggestion was to get one of those big dumpster type things that you can rent and just have them drop it off and you just throw everything in it and then have them just come pick it up like a week later.
Cheaper than that. I got a guy.
Really?
I got a hauling guy if you need a guy.
Oh, yeah, okay. I've used him. I've used your guy.
Oh, yeah, did you?
I like when
I may need
guys.
Your guy too.
Huh?
He's a nice dude. Okay.
So what do I do with all the stuff?
I don't like
because I have stuff in storage too. If I have stuff in storage, do I bring it all to the house and just have it all in one place and just say,
no,
take everything?
No, he'll make
everything?
Two pickups for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's
won't charge
pretty
extra. Good dude.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Uh-uh. I hauled away about 4,000 pounds of stuff between my old house and then some stuff I brought over to the new house and then changed my mind. That's not including all the stuff we gave away, a lot of the stuff we still haven't figured out what to do with. That was just the stuff that I knew was junk that nobody wanted. 4,000 pounds, 4 truckloads full.
That's crazy.
Hmm. I got rid of a bunch of stuff. We had stuff that was in our, like a storage area, whatever. But
So that's where people put their meth labs at their house.
And so I was like, I had a fire going. Like, this is in the fall. And I had a fire going outside. And I was just like, I'm just going to burn it. Let's burn stuff. I burned my old Letterman jacket that had mold all over it. By the way, that was a weird smoke. I don't know what they make those things out of. It was
burned your old Letterman jacket from high school?
Yeah.
It had mold on it. Didn't you hear him say it
like
was?
Like, it was, I don't know. It had, I think it was, I don't know what was on it. It wasn't well.
It wasn't edible.
Mm-hmm. It was very not edible. I also burned
styrofoam. If you did, people are going to start complaining.
No.
They're going to cancel you.
I didn't. I burned a baby crib.
Do you have like a burn pit or something at your house?
Yeah. Is that the right answer?
Yeah. Because you live in my district. Yeah, I'm like, keep talking.
Pretty sure that's not the real answer, everybody.
Have you guys ever tried to get a burn permit? It takes forever, but I did it. And anyway, so I was burning stuff, and I threw that mattress. It burned weird too, and all this strange smoke. And I got a whiff of it, and I was like, you know, your body just kind of naturally tells you this is
bad,
carcinogenic, and I knew it. So I was like, I backed off of it, and boys come and I go, just give it some space, boys. Let it air out. And so, like, all the trees that are kind of hanging over, they're dead now. And but I got rid of so much stuff. Man. I just burned it.
Well, now you can just burn the trees. I'm thinking. Chop off the limbs.
I'm so sad hearing that. And by the way, don't ever inhale. Like, if it's not wood or anything like that,
don't inhale
that smoke. It's so full of
crud. Are you saying that inhaling smoke is bad?
Well, no. There's a lot of people who they'll have a bonfire, and they'll be like there, and the smoke will blow at them, and they're like, oh, I love this smell, and they let it waft on them for a while.
Yeah.
And that's really bad if you're especially burning plastics and things like that, because there's a bunch of really bad chemicals in there. I mean, dude, you got cyanide and stuff like that all cranking out.
Yeah.
Methyl ethyl crud.
Yeah, I saw methyl ethyl for sure.
She was at my last party.
You know, when I was growing up, man, we didn't have a garbage pickup. We burned everything.
At my grandma's house, it was like that.
Yeah, we had a burn barrel.
That's how it is at my dad's house up in the mountains.
You know, when you say a pit, like hers was, it was as big around as where Bubba's standing, like in this whole area. It was.
Oh wow! So it wasn't just like an oil barrel.
No, it was a pile. We'd have a bonfire every other week.
Yeah, we just had
to burn the stuff.
I had a barrel. I remember. Throwing in, Dad had shaving cream in the old canister or whatever. That stuff blows up, and it looks like it's snowing when it comes down.
Don't do that, kids. It's dangerous.
Boy, it was scary, but it was magical at the same time. I remember it so vividly. Pow! I'm like, you know, you kind of like, you know, like, and then all of a sudden,
it's the most wonderful time.
All these looked like it was snowing, man. Little pieces of shaving cream falling.
We used to have bonfires. That was our fun. I was talking to Tracy about that, Tracy Lawrence on the radio show about that was what we did. And him too. We'd have a bonfire like every Saturday night.
Just the best. That was just hanging out
in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, man.
He was like, yeah, dancing around the bonfire. I'm like, whoa, we didn't dance. We're not pagans. What are you doing?
Don't touch
this. This is how horror movies start.
We drank whiskey and we kissed girls, but we didn't dance. Like, come on.
No, slitting that throat of the goat.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, nothing like that, is there? Open up the Book of Secrets.
Since he's not here to defend himself, I'll tell you that what he said was, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And
what?
Sometimes that's how you get to the kissing of the girls.
Yeah, you got
to
dance.
Sometimes you got to dance.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess so. Are you a dancer, Carson?
No.
Yeah, you don't think so.
I would. You know what? No, hold on. I will quantify by saying I was really good at line dancing. When you line me up and tell me what to do, I was really good at that. But other dancing, like left to my own devices, absolutely not.
Patrick, play a song and we'll have Carson do a line dance to it.
That is okay.
Patrick, do you see the breaking news?
What's the breaking news?
So Notre Dame
is
not in a conference.
Right.
They're in their own thing. They are looking to join the ACC for the 2020 season.
Just for this season?
The Atlantic Coast Conference and Notre Dame considering whether they will give up their treasured football independence to play as a member of the league for the 2020 season. Yeah, apparently they would go back, but I think once you go in. Under the proposed plan, Notre Dame would play a full 10-game ACC schedule. That's a tough schedule.
Would there be a revenue-sharing thing, too? Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
Notre Dame, by the way, is in the ACC in every sport except football.
Except for football.
Yeah.
So they're already a member, and they play four ACC games a year. So it's
not just a huge – it's like
– it's where they're going to go if they ever go somewhere. The problem is they don't really fit. They're not really on the Atlantic Coast or near all those other schools, but they missed their chance to join the Big Ten. So
– yeah. I don't think they want to be in the Big Ten.
Anyway. That would be the best, but
so know. Yeah. Anyway, and I also saw that someone proposed, or I think it was one of the conferences said that they're going to do a late start and an abbreviated season of some sort. I hope so. Man. Oh, we need some. What are we going to do if we don't have anything to bet on?
You got baseball.
Trust me.
I like to bet on baseball.
Okay, earlier today we bet on whether Bubba would text us when he went to poop.
I know.
Okay, we will find things to bet on. By the way, you texted us and I lost $1.
I did not text you.
I did. Yeah, you did. No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't even poop today.
No, it was yesterday. You sent us a video of the old Civil War soldier from like
that was
1940s.
Crazy. His accent was crazy. Somebody had sent it to me. It was like some old Civil War soldier, somebody in like 1940 or something, recorded him talking about his experiences. And I'm like, wow, they spoke almost with a British accent back then. Like Americans sounded like that. It was more than, you know, maintaining your dignity. It was it was like a different kind of thing, man.
Yeah.
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
We need something to bet on Saturday, on Fridays. That's one of my favorite things.
Can you bet on the Fox Sports is going to put virtual people in the stands? So you should bet
this weekend they're going to have virtual people.
Bet on which inning they screw up and they put people in the field.
First.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's people on. It's messed up, and they're actually
Field. That they're like, oh no, like somehow the chroma key gets messed up, and so suddenly there's like six fans by home base.
Yeah, basically, it's going to look like a video game. They're
Did you say
put
home base?
People in there.
Yeah,
she said home base.
That's adorable.
She's a girl.
That's awesome.
What do you want? She doesn't
so
know.
Cute.
That doesn't mean she's a girl. I know lots of girls that know what.
But I meant
home,
on the field, which is home base on the field.
It's a home plate, but
that's right. Okay, whatever.
It's anyway.
There's going to be football.
Yeah, that'll be.
I forgot to tell you guys. I got something to show both of you.
What?
From my recent trip.
Oh, my gosh.
It's enough for him to leave.
Oh. Look. I'm going to save these, and hopefully there's a season, or if there's not, they'll be voided.
What is it?
I made some bets.
On what?
Patrick made some bets.
I made some bets.
You went to sports book?
Oh, you were at the sports book?
Yeah, I went to the sports book. It was open. The sports book's not open, but the kiosk is open next to the poker room I went to. So I have two bets.
Okay.
This is a $10 bet to win $140 if the Saints win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to do that, but I never go to the sports book early enough.
Yeah.
You know, to actually do it. And then last year, I thought about it. It was the week before the season started, and I'm like, I should put $10 on Joe Burrow to win the Heisman just to save the ticket, you know, and as a souvenir. He's not going to win, and it was 50-1. But the line was too long, so I was like, whatever. I don't need a souvenir that bad.
And then he won it.
He won, so that $10 bet would have paid $500. So
you did a Miles?
Miles Brennan's getting 40-1, so I got $10 on Miles Brennan to win $400.
Wow.
So, and if they don't, like I said, it's kind of a fun souvenir. To say, I am a fan, I put money on my teams. But I love it.
I don't like to bet at all. Like, I hate losing money. Mm-hmm. I hate losing anything. Who? What am I kidding? Like, anything like for the
but
diet bet
married?
Thing we did and all that kind of stuff. Thank you. But it's the worst. I don't like losing money like that.
It's fun. It's called having fun.
How is that fun?
Yeah, losing money is no fun to me.
No, it's not. But you know what? It's part of the rush, man. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there, listen, Patrick, come on.
Saints make the playoffs, it's going to get a lot more exciting for me.
It makes games better. And when you're watching college football, and I know that I bet Patrick $10 or $5, but we're not, it's nothing huge. And I know that I've got to cover the spread or it's overnight, whatever it is.
It gives you something to watch for.
Gives you something, and it brings you into games that you would never really
especially
care about.
Especially games where it's like the spread is 35 and a half. And you're
yeah.
And this team's up by 35 points, and you're going, get the field goal!
And, you know, so there are games teams that you wouldn't care to mm-mm. watch. You know, you're going to watch FAMU. I'll watch this because I got money on it. But
Dee and I bet some stupid games last year, man.
Well, it was fun too. And then the trash talk. It's part of it, man. It's so much fun.
I liked, you and I were at the sports book one day. We hung out all morning. And I liked sitting there with the big giant TV on.
Yes.
So they have multiple TVs in the place. But the big giant TV, the big giant screen, which was like the size of the entire wall, was on the game for the person who had the most money on the line. And there was a guy, how much did he bet that day?
$50,000.
$50,000 on a UCLA game. And he was sitting there behind us and watching the whole game. Well, they ended up losing. So he lost $50,000. $50,000. And we were like,
I'm not making that kind
when that game finished, we were like turning around trying to look, but not trying to look because you don't want to be like, dude, you just lost $50,000. But we sat there and we're like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? I was waiting for him to pull a pistol out and just take it out. You know, I'm like.
He bolted, man. He took off.
Like, he
total
stood
drug
up.
Dealer. 100% drug dealer.
He stood
no
up.
No question.
He stood up like there was nothing. Like, he just finished his meal. Mm. He was like, okay, I'm done. Bye.
He was either a drug dealer or a pimp or both. He was totally not, like, on the up and up.
All right.
And it was obvious.
I mean, he had 50 grand to blow on a football game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's when I sat next to that guy who was a gang member who was coming over from
Sacramento
to come in. That's how he made his living. He would go and make bets every week. And that's what he did. He didn't have a job.
That was his job.
And so I had no idea how to do any of it.
At first, Big D annoyed him.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, give me a nod, you know. And I just kept at him, man. Just kept aggravating, asking him questions. And then finally, he just kind of, like, I don't know.
You broke through.
I guess. And he kind of gave me the whole thing, how it worked and what to do. Dude, there's so much. When you're at a sports book, there's way more options for betting.
Yeah.
Like, during game, as it's progressing and all that. So
you know,
I didn't
blew
know
my
either.
Mind is the whole thing about how he said, if you're betting on halves, if one team won the first half, bet on the other team in the second half because they'll score more points. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, you could do that. He goes, it's almost guaranteed every time. And I don't bet, so I've never tested the theory about making money, but I watch games now, and like in the first half, whoever scores the most points usually
especially
does
if it's
not
big.
Score.
If it's like 35-14, the team that's down by 21, they're going to win the second half.
It's crazy. Almost like, I never knew that was a thing. I'm like, what is this?
Not in college football. It doesn't happen as much.
But it was.
It might end up in
actually, it was college.
We were watching college football.
Yeah, and it was working out. We watched like 7 or 8 games simultaneously. God, going, wow, look
best.
At that!
This
dude knows his stuff.
Big old leather chairs, man. They reclined, and they just
chicken
bring
wings,
you stuff.
Chicken wings, and drinks.
How much do you have to bet to be able to sit there?
Nothing.
Really?
I think there was a minimum. You just needed to have a bet, and I think I put like $10 on a couple games.
Okay, yeah, see, that'd be worth it for me.
And mm-hmm.
like, I can go watch it in luxury, and you're asking me to put down $20-30. Okay, I'm getting a trade off on that.
Well, I guess it was in luxury because we had the recliners with our feet up and all that. Yeah, it's the experience. I love doing it, and I keep telling Big D we got to do it again. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, it's the best.
Now, none of the books close to here are that nice yet, but they're
the one in
Southern Indiana near Louisville is pretty nice.
When I've been in Vegas, I always see them, and I never know what. I'm like, ooh, that looks like the nicest sports bar.
Yes.
And
look at home base.
Well, ours was ours was in Reno, and I forget which casino we were doing it, but it was fantastic. We had a great time, and I'll do it again. I'll do that again.
Yeah, that was the most fun I've ever had watching football.
Even though I don't like losing money. I actually won. I think I won on every bet I made that day.
I did. I won every single bet.
Yeah, I think both you and I, we were like sitting there going, hey, we won on everything.
There is such a endorphin dump when you stand in line. And
someone say dump?
And
the comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
they give you all this cash, and you're just like, it's because you like, because you're just like, man, this is free money. They're just giving me free money.
But it's not free money.
I know, but you're distanced.
Especially when you do it as much as Patrick, it's never free money.
From giving them the money, so it's like they're just giving you money that you're like, why are you giving me this money? I just enjoyed 5 hours of college football and eating and having some drinks, and now you're giving me free money. It's the best. The greatest experience. It'd be like you playing poker, and you're enjoying it. You're having fun doing it. Then you get paid. What? It's worth it when you lose it.
How often do you lose money when you go and play like in the poker rooms and all that?
I mean, it depends what I'm going to do. If I go to just play tournaments and there's tournaments all day, I might not win money in any of them. I might play in four tournaments. If they have like a morning and an evening, you know, like one of these big things where it goes on all week, I might play in four or five tournaments, and I might not cash in any of them, so I lose all of the money I put in. But it's like 60, 70, 80, 100 bucks to play in each tournament. And if you're good, you'll play for hours. Like, there's nothing else I can do that's that much of a distraction. Last weekend, I didn't eat. I woke up Saturday morning at like 10:30. I took a shower. I went down. It was a little too late to eat breakfast. So I was like, I'll just go and sign up for the noon tournament and I'll just wait. I played from noon until 7. I didn't eat. I didn't even realize look at me and think, when was the last time I went all day without eating because I forgot?
Yeah.
I used to say all the time that was my only place I could get a vacation. It was the only place I could go. There's a lot of places I can go and not think about work. I can go sit on a beach and not think about work. But I'm still going to think about what I'm going to eat for my next meal. And I'm still going to be distracted by women. I'm not distracted by women as much anymore now that I'm not single, but I'm not. It was, you know.
Dude, you almost lost your dignity. Oh, well, cool. Well, thank you for telling us that.
You never would have known?
We knew that.
Okay.
You didn't have to.
But yeah, in a poker room, because I have to focus on the game. I have to focus on the game, every aspect, the people at the table. You have to be paying attention to what's going on. It's a little harder now. Everybody's wearing masks. So
you can't read people's faces?
Man, you can still read people, but you got to watch different stuff, and it's harder. And this old guy got really mad and screamed at me when I took him out of the tournament on Saturday. And he blamed it on the mask, and I just went along with, yeah, man, these masks. Hey, sure.
Well, that's when you go, no, ew. It's your poker playing.
You're bad.
You suck. You're terrible at this. Yeah, that's what you do. Tell him the truth. Maybe you'll save him some money and keep him out of the.
I sat down next to this old guy. He was sitting right next to me. He had to be in his mid-70s, maybe late 70s. He had long, curly white hair. He was wearing a cowboy hat and a Western shirt. With the white T-shirt underneath, and the Western shirt was open and untucked, like almost wearing.
So you played poker with David Allen Coe,
dude? It wasn't David Allen? It looked kind of like old the guy that wrote all the George Strait songs, like Dean Dillon. He looked kind of like that.
Okay, no one knows what a horrible reference, but yeah,
Google. Okay. But you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm talking about for you. He had the boots on, the freaking Wranglers, the whole thing, and the T-shirt tucked in. He looked
so he was kind of like Stu Kapowski. Yeah.
He looked like an old country singer. He really did. Okay. No, but not David Allen Coe. David Allen Coe doesn't look like an old country singer. He looks like a biker, you know? It was weird. It
maybe
was
you got a really glimpse of Patrick from the future.
Maybe.
Is this your story?
I can't imagine.
Is there more to this?
He was just...
tell us you just sat next to somebody?
This really
I sat next
cool
to a man!
Cowboy, dude. That wasn't my story.
That's good. That's a good story. Did any women walk by that you didn't notice?
My next song is called Big D is a Jerk. It goes like this.
Here you go. Here's Patrick Thomas.
Oh, Big D is a jerk.
Well. That's how everyone starts.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. We're out of here. Are we done? We finished.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
I want to shout out to British Rob, whose tweet about last week's podcast just made me go back and listen to it again, and it was as funny as I remember. Did you see that, Dee?
Yeah, I saw you.
Oh, God, it's so great. British Rob just tweeted, Carson, people still answer their doors, and Dee replies, yeah, he has to. He has to tell them he's a firefighter.
Oh, is that another little dig on me?
Yes, it is.
Because then he said something about you should know how to deal with burns like that.
If anyone could deal with a burn like that, it's Bubba.
Oh,
he's
my
fire.
God. It was like British Rob for the win.
I love British Rob.
Brits.
Hey, you know, right, he's the one who turned me on to the malt loaf stuff, and I ordered more.
What is that?
Malt loaf. It's this stuff. It's like some yeasted bread, malted whatever stuff, and you put butter on it. It's really good.
Huh.
It's kind of spongy and awesome. Hmm. Malt loaf. You Yanks, check it out.
What a terrible name.
Malt loaf. They have crumpets, too. That's a pretty crappy name, right. Too. You think that's all right?
Better than malt loaf.
A crumpet? Crumpet sounds
crumpet's
like...
Crumpet's kind of cute,
though. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm having crumpets.
Yeah.
It sounds like a neighbor that you don't like. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to the crumpets.
I think there was a neighbor famous in a sitcom called the...
That was the Clampets. You're thinking...
I'm thinking Clampets. Yeah.
The comfort wife allows you to maintain your dignity.
You need right. A comfort wife after the
I think
the
we
malt
need to
loaf.
Maintain our dignity and get, yeah, get out.
Dignity. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, you know, cool. For those of you who are listening with your ears on the apps, well, then wait until after the jingle because we got the Miranda Lambert little phone call. We had some time with Miranda. That'll be coming up next.
The comfort wipe allows you to maintain your dignity.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Hey, look, Big D, it's Miranda Lambert.
Hey.
Hey, what up?
How are y'all doing?
Good, good.
Y'all at home?
Yes, I'm home right now. No, I live at the studio, actually.
No, we never
took a single day off because we're essential.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess that's the first time she's never... Oh.
Yeah, we actually had little papers that we had printed up from the Department of Homeland Security to allow us to drive in case somebody pulled us over and said, hey, what are you doing out?
So dumb.
Dang, that's intense.
Yeah.
Hey, I know we're supposed to talk about Bluebird, and it's, I mean, everyone's already talking about it, and it's a huge song, and we're playing it and all that stuff. Dude, girl, Dark Bars, best song on the album.
Oh, thank you. that song makes me sad. Like, it's part of the reason I love it, because it makes me sad, but it makes me sadder even now.
I know.
Because I miss that. I miss going to... I miss sitting on a bar stool and hearing live music. I miss all of that.
What was it the other day? Somebody kind of critiqued you on social media because you're like, I miss dark bars. And people are like, oh, yeah, you're going to put everybody at risk just because you miss playing.
I also don't pay attention to those people because they're out of a job, so I understand that they're bored and need to hate on me. But I think they should get a different hobby.
Man, somebody just dropped the truth bomb.
Yeah, like. You can't. I mean, that video is amazing, and that song is very fitting for now. Like, I don't know. I wrote these songs 2 years ago, and I have Bluebird right now that's a hit. It's been a minute, so I'm very thankful for that. And Dark Bars and Settling Down is my next single, and I feel like between the three of those songs is so, the messaging is so right on for right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who would have known?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but... I mean, I guess that's how life imitates art, is not what they say.
Hey, I was noticing something you posted the other day. Is like you, Brandon, in the pool or something. What the?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Like, yeah, it's really annoying. Like,
that's stupid.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Same bacon and biscuits that I eat, but he doesn't look like he eats that.
No, he looks like a model from the cologne things.
I know, like one of those Calvin Klein dudes.
Yes.
But I don't. We can't build him up, so I'll make sure he doesn't hear this interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's stupid or something.
Yeah,
but...
I know. The thing too is like he's really nice. I'm like, you can't be that cute and that nice.
Yeah, I saw the picture and I was like, wow.
Let's just give him this. He's 28. So I was like, talk to me when you're 35.
Oh, yeah. I just found the picture. Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, notice I'm like tucked in my flamingo, so.
And you have the dog in front of you.
Yeah, Delta Dawn loves to ride on the float. She's stiff now. She's 13 and has no teeth, but she's still like rocking. She wants to be on the float. She wants to be on the paddleboard. She's hanging.
Is her tongue always hanging out, too?
Yeah, always. Yeah. She has like four teeth left.
And my wife's dog is the same way. She's had all the teeth issues, and her tongue is always out. She looks like she's dead. You take a picture, and you're like, she looks like she's already passed.
Oh, that's sad.
That's awful. By the way, speaking of, Mutt Nation Foundation celebrating its 11th anniversary. Congratulations on that. I know you've got such a heart for animals, and congratulations on the new, you got a new cat or something, Tequila?
We got a new cat we found in the middle of the road in Texas. Headed to see my mom, and that cat was literally on the yellow line on a two-lane highway, and Brendan saw it and started turning around, and I was like, why are you turning around? He's like, there's a cat in the road, and I knew if I didn't stop and told you 3 miles from now, you'd make me turn around.
Hey, that's why you guys are together.
Yeah, so we had this kitty and 3 dogs, and we road tripped 9 hours back to Nashville, and I was like, we look like the Clampets right now.
That's awesome.
It was great, actually.
Well, congrats on Bluebird. And for those listening, definitely get the album Wild Card. Go listen to Dark Bars. It's a really, really great.
Just get the album and listen to everything.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
I'm saying, okay. All right. Okay, fine. Miranda Lambert, everyone. Hey, Miranda, thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
See ya.
Bye.